So here we are, February 6th, 2013. We are going to be looking at another day in the life of Paul. We're going to go to Acts chapter 13. And we are going to see why we can't go to Acts for doctrine unless you know what the doctrine is before you go to Acts. Because you can see Paul's doctrine in Acts, but you can also see the Great Commission in the book of Acts. And the reason is because Paul is also talking to Jews at this point. So this is where the mid-actors lose it, because they say, well, the church began in Acts chapter 8. No, it couldn't have begun in chapter 9. It couldn't have begun in Acts chapter 9, because he's still talking to Jews in chapter 13. Well, it couldn't have gone just 13 only, because he's still talking to them in 18. Matter of fact, he's talking to them until all the way to the end of the book. So that whole historical when did the church begin thing is just a bogus argument to get people to think that you're smart and intelligent, instead of the common simple things that Paul says, the plainest of speech, and it's learning the manner of life that pleases God. And we stay away from, we'll teach the Gospels, but we won't teach them as application, we'll teach them as history. We won't teach the tribulation, the book of Revelation, Hebrews, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, James, not in the right order, and 1st, 2nd, Peter, we'll teach them, but we won't teach them as applicable to us. Those are tribulational books. So Acts chapter 13, and people like to go to Acts chapter 13 and talk about some stuff here, and they try to say that they can still do this stuff today, because, see, Paul did it. And yet there's some things in there that happened to Paul that still happen today. Why do you say that? Because we preach Paul's teachings. So in some respect, it's kind of like we're putting forth Paul. Well, who's your Savior? Well, Jesus Christ is my Savior, but Paul is my apostle. Bottom line is we're looking to the teachings of the risen Savior as he taught to Paul to take to the Gentiles. He did not take them to the Jews. He took them to the Gentiles. We are not going back to the Gospels to teach the Gospels as doctrine to us today, because it's not. It's for us, but it's not to us. So, we look at chapter 13. This is just a day or two in the life of Paul. And I'm going to put my screen down so I don't see anybody's name come or go. Or any comments. I'm just going to yak away here. I hope I get this thing recorded right, because I was so caught up with talking to the principal about this stuff. We're having some great conversations, I'll tell you. But I sure do get tired after these things. I don't have the energy I used to have. That's as obvious as can be. So, I will get my yawn out of the way. And let's start, and let's make some comments in chapter 13 of Acts. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch. Now, we already know the difference between Antioch and Alexandria. I did try to teach that tonight. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, oh, see, there we go. Paul fasted in his day. Oh, come on, just watch, just pay attention here. And fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, if that isn't a Baptistic activity right there today, that's exactly what they say. As they continue to minister to the Lord in their churches, and they have their fast, they have an important evangelistic meeting coming up, or they have something going on, they'll have a church fast, and they will say, well, the Holy Ghost told me, you know, they'll say that comment, and when they had fasted and prayed, they'll lay their hands on them, and they'll send them off to their new mission field. There it is. Well, isn't this okay? This is how Paul got started. Well, let's keep going here. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Oh, wait a minute. They didn't go on deputation. I mean, if you want to play the Baptist game, here's a Baptist complaint that I had as a pastor. If the Holy Ghost is calling you to go someplace, then go there. Don't spend 2 or 3 years postpone the local churches and preaching what they want to hear, showing them your slides, showing your pictures and all that stuff, and then in 2 or 3 years finally go to where you're going to go, and then after being there for 6 months and you find out it's not working and God changed his mind and sent you to another place. That is probably one of the first things I started to question and challenge. Well, if God sent you to the Sandwich Islands because he wanted you to win all these people to the Lord, how come a year later you're going someplace else? What happened? God changed his mind? I don't understand why they don't see that stuff. But anyway, now just pay attention. I've been at school all day. Pay attention. Here's where this stuff is at. And you'll see why we don't do this stuff today. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the, where? In the synagogues of the Jews. Jewish. Jews had to have signs. And they had also John to their minister. Well, John's Gospels. Well, yeah, Gospels. That's to the Gospel. That's to the Jews. Paul is still working with Jews here. They have to do these things so they can see. They need a sign. Keep going here. And when they had gone, I guess I need to leave it up so I can see if people come or go or whatever. And when they had gone through the aisle into Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet. Oh, look at this, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus, or Bar Jesus if he was a Spanish Jew. I mean, anyway, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Well, here, good, you know. We're dealing in Jewish territory here, okay. So these guys want to hear the word of God, so they go to Paul, Barnabas and Saul. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Notice it says, from the faith. Not just from having faith, but to turn him away from the faith. We talked about that tonight too, myself and the principal here. Faith of Jesus and faith in Jesus, you know, kind of a thing. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eye on him and said, well, can't you just picture this? Here's Paul, who knows who this guy is, and he knows what he's there for, and he's got to deal with this guy. So Paul sets his eyes on him, and he's just staring at him, he's looking at him, you know, and said, O, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Whoa. You know, Paul pretty much judge this guy, didn't he? Sorry, got the yawns. I'm just tired. And, you know, Paul didn't wait around 2 or 3 years to see if this guy's got some similarities. And didn't go out with him and all that stuff. You know, he knew this guy was wicked. We know that about a lot of people. We still hang around him. Not that we shouldn't. I mean, remember what Paul says. It's got to be there sometimes. So he says, the right ways of the Lord. By the way, what are the right ways of the Lord? Well, they're Paul's ways. Right? Doesn't Paul say that Timothy was there to teach all the ways of Paul? Paul's ways? Well, see, Paul's trying to follow the risen Savior, what the risen Savior taught him. So the Lord's ways, or Paul's ways, should be our ways. Not the Beatitudes. Not the Gospels. Not Hebrews. Not 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, not 1st, 2nd Peter, not James, not Jude. And most of what Paul teaches for our ways is in Timothy and Titus. Okay. And how many pastors and preachers preach Timothy and Titus? They'll do 1st Corinthians. I know this one guy that I talked about Sunday morning, he's going through Ephesians. Yeah, well, Ephesians is a fantastic book of great doctrine, but they sure do massacre it. But they still don't get into the walk in Ephesians. A little bit in chapter 5 about a husband and a wife, but, you know, they all tend to go to 1 Peter 3 for marriage preaching, which is tribulation preaching, by the way. Okay, so, and now, verse 11, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. So, see here, Paul gets this guy. Paul gets it. He blinds him. Kind of like Benny Hinn does to people, the opposite, you know. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. There you go. This guy had to see Paul blind this guy. You know, if I could actually go out there and walk up to people and, you know, flip my hand at them or something like that and make them see what they need to see, well, wouldn't that be something? Maybe get a lot of followers, huh? Probably not. Because you have to be preaching Paul. So what's going on here? This is Great Commission stuff. This is the Jewish people are still around. Now, Paul is going to teach these guys the truth, but he's still around the Jews. He's still around the stuff that's been going on without the Gentiles. I'll show you. Then the deputy, verse 13. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. And went into the synagogue, hint, 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 on the Sabbath, hint, 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 day, and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue said unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say so. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Sorry. The God, this is what Paul says. This is Paul's speech. Okay? Now, isn't that kind of a neat thing? I mean, we're looking at many years ago, Paul delivered this speech. And God said he would preserve his words from generation to generation. So God told Paul what to say, and he recorded what Paul said, and we can still read what it is that Paul said. Here's what Paul said, verse 17. Now, this is a history lesson. This is Old Testament history lesson. If you recognize anything that you don't know anything about, here's a good time just to make note of it and check it out and read it in your Old Testament. Anyway, 17. Oh, I'm starting to fade already, like last Wednesday night. Here we go. 17, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their lot to them, divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years in Samuel the prophet. Oh, so you're actually able to read some stuff that we should know about these things from reading the Old Testament. I don't tell people not to read the Old Testament. I tell people not to try to live what the Bible teaches in the Old Testament. I don't tell people not to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Acts. I just tell them, don't try to live that stuff. That's all. Verse 19, probably, I don't know. 19, when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided the lot to them by lot, the land to them by lot. And after he gave them unto them judges about the spaces of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Type of yawn again. And afterward, they desired a king. God didn't tell them to get a king, but they wanted a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. See what Paul's doing here? He's teaching to the Jews. He's telling them what's happened in their history. So this guy up here in verse 11, he can see. It's a miracle. Why? The Jews were there. Okay, verse 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, "What think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose slips of his feet, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose." It tells them I'm he, but, you know. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of prophets other than every Sabbath, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they had found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And they had fulfilled all that was written of him. They took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. So, Paul is doing a sermon here, a speech. He's doing a bunch of good words here. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made among the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, "Thou art my son, thou shalt, this day I have begotten thee." Man, I'm just yawning a dime a dozen here. So let's go back before we read some more. This is just Paul, and he's preaching this stuff in the synagogues. Who better to know what Christ had done and what God had done to these people than Paul to tell him what he knows about it? Now you see how this turns out, though. Verse 35. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, "Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to be corrupted, shall see corruption." For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on deep, and was laid into his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God had raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, and through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Well, that had to be a blow to hear. Beware, therefore, let them come upon you, which is spoken in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall no wise believe. Though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them in the gospel, to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. There's both right there now. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Wouldn't that be something? But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And lastly here, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the that the want of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing as we put it, we might put it from you yourselves and judge yourselves unworthily of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to a light, be a light of the Gentiles. There it is again, see? Be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be salvation unto the ends of the earth. There's a verse you could probably put up. 47. And when the Germans heard all that they were heard this, they were all glad, but the Germans had favored the... Where's it at? And when the Gentiles heard this, and they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. I think I was reading some weird words there all of a sudden. Okay, now here we go. These people heard and they believed. What were they having to believe now? That he was the Christ, he was the Messiah. They were not having to believe that... wait a minute. Oh, I'm just so wiped out here. Paul was teaching Jews here. So he's just telling them what they did to their Savior still. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. So there's Gentiles at this thing too. But he's presenting this stuff to the Jews so they could see stuff. The signs. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Doesn't mean they were ordained, so they're going to believe anyway. We know that election thing is bogus in Ephesians chapter 1. And this is where it gets exciting. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Everybody heard what Paul was saying. Verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So we just see here tonight on this super duper short sermon, because I'm ready to fall asleep again. That was a good time talking though with my prince. That was a great time. Tons of stuff to show him. That we see again stuff that goes on in the churches today, laying on of hands. Fasting, all this stuff was done early Paul because he was still with the Jews. So what are we doing? There's two answers to this question. What are we doing, you know, fasting and having all these laying on the hands and this kind of stuff going on today? I'm thinking what I asked here. Okay, why are we? Because... Why do I ask that? Oh, here we go. My mind just went kapooey. Why do they do that today? Okay, and they say that Paul did it, and it's not. Why do they do this stuff? It was done for the Jews. It was done for them to see that this is God's stuff. This is the way God operates. This is the way it is. What do we find that out today? Which is hard for people to believe. King James Bible. If the Holy Ghost ever speaks anything to you, it's because you were reading your Bible or you were thinking verses or something. So anyway, there you go. Another dud for Wayne. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm just tired. That was a great... I think we talked about an hour and a half to 2 hours, maybe, about different things. So let me turn off the webcam. See you later, webcam.